Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Of course, we are covering many issues, also trying to follow what is going on in the United States, not only with the elections, but also with this hurricane. It sounds pretty, pretty bad. John Day, a very, very good morning to you. Thanks for joining us once again. I'm assuming that you are nowhere near this area.
Nowhere near high. I'm high in the mountains, and the hurricane is hitting the west coast of Florida, so very far away.
And I saw that, in fact, that so many of these homes in Tampa, Florida, are something like 5 feet above sea level, which is very, very scary. On the coast, 5 feet above sea level, that must be really frightening for the people down there.
Right. Well, they're talking about a storm surge of up to 10 to 15 feet, so you can imagine how devastating this theoretically could be. So it's
okay,
let's hope
that everybody's okay. When is it expected to make landfall?
It's tomorrow, Wednesday evening here.
Wednesday, so it's our Thursday morning early, I suppose.
Right.
Tomorrow morning we'll certainly keep an eye on that. Okay, let's just talk about the other hurricane the other storm that is on the way, which is the U.S. elections. I saw some really, really terrible footage of a 60-minute interview with Kamala Harris. I actually couldn't watch it. It was actually quite embarrassing. It couldn't have done her any good. What's your thoughts?
Well, the interviewer actually was very good this time. I mean, this was a real experienced journalist.
Yes.
who really held her feet to the fire. I mean, he was trying to get some answers, unlike some of the other interviews that she's been in, where, you know, they've been sort of softball questions. This one was a serious journalist, and I think you're right. I don't think she did herself any favors. I don't know that it's going to change a lot of votes, but it certainly is consistent with the criticism of her that they can't pin her down on policy issues to give an answer that's satisfactory.
You can't get an answer. It's impossible. This word, the words that are thrown around, they just seem to come from everywhere. It reminds me of I kept thinking about, you know, there's this whole idea of chaos and order, and we need both, because you need these, like I always think about it with words, that you need all of these words floating around and a writer puts them on a page. A composer takes all of these musical notes that exist everywhere and puts them into some magical score. When I watch her interview, I think she's chaos. She hasn't yet taken those words and ordered them into something that makes sense. You just see these words flying around, and you can't understand them. I mean, that's my own impression.
And they call it the word salad. You know, these words, as you say, the words floating around, and you now get a sense of why her people have been reluctant to let her get out there and do this. And I think this just confirms that concern.
So the other aspect is, it's to me seems a bit odd that Israel has not retaliated against Iran after 8 days now. It just was odd, you know, that this is still going on. And reading between the lines, it definitely seems as though a lot of the constraints sit with the agreement with the United States. Obviously, understanding that Israel is going to be reliant on the United States assisting should Iran escalate this further after Israel's retaliation. I think the whole word escalate, I think we need to put away, because I think we're beyond escalate. But either way, that Israel is going to have to count on the United States and some of the other forces if it launches this attack on Iran. And it seems to be, from my reading between the lines, that's where the problem is. The question to me is, the question to you is this about U.S. policy specifically here? Is it impacted by the elections? What is going on here?
So the smart move for Israel is to use the election as the cover and launch its attack. And I think that may explain why there's a bit of a delay, because the closer you get to the election, the more the U.S., the Biden administration, no one is going to make any move that's critical of Israel if they launch this attack the election gets closer, because that would just be the kiss of death for the Harris, the Biden and Harris campaign. And Trump has already come on board as saying that Israel should be blasting away at the nuclear sites. So the election provides cover, and the smart move for Israel is to let even a little more time pass before they make the move, before they make a strike, because the election is going to silence any criticism, anything that the Biden administration would do to reject that. And so there's no downside really for Israel to wait a bit longer as the election gets closer, because anything that happened would not draw the response from the U.S. that it would in a non-election time.
That's so interesting. And the fact that Netanyahu and Biden haven't spoken in the last 2 months, they are going to be speaking again, I think, Wednesday morning, your time, so this afternoon, I imagine, our time. Is that the relationship between these guys? How much of a concern is that?
Well, you know, it's interesting. The timing is interesting. Just today, there was a book released by Bob Woodward, this journalist, the Watergate journalist, Bob Woodward, and he's got a lot of information about discussions between Biden and Netanyahu, and the names that Biden has for Netanyahu. They can't print them. They can't put them on the air. It's very clear that Woodward has gotten lots of information about the how that relationship between the two leaders is just at the end of the rope. And but I think that, again, Biden can't do anything critical, maybe mildly critical, but he can't do anything that's significant at this stage in the election that would affect the American voters and the Jewish vote in the U.S. The Democrats. So he's not going to do anything.
So
necessarily,
it's such an interesting. I hadn't thought about this at all. It's such an interesting take. I appreciate you pointing that out, because he dare not. As it is, Trump is so clearly and so unequivocal in his support that anything that Biden does at this point that is deemed critical is going to be seen against that comparative view. So very, very interesting. John Dye, I do need to leave it there. They're telling me we need to go to ads. Thank you as always. Really appreciate you staying up late to chat to us. John Dye is a U.S. attorney. He is a commentator, and we often chat to him to get his perspective on the U.S. situation.